Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
High atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
President Barack Obama kills pirates and Osama bin Laden. A man leaves his two-year-old on a MAX train. And Dove Lewis holds an event honoring donations of dog blood.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, This is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, May 2nd, 2011. President Barack Obama announced late yesterday that U.S. Special Forces killed al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden earlier that day during a firefight in Pakistan.
And then got laid as no man has ever gotten laid before. I bet Michelle Obama just told him he could have a free one.
Whatever.
Baby, you just pick somebody out.
Honey, you just go. You just go be the man, she said.
Be even more the man.
cheering crowds quickly gathered outside the White House and at Ground Zero in New York City, apparently swiftly dropping their Tea Party signs to charge the White House and chant USA, USA. On nights like this one, we can say to those families who have lost loved ones to al-Qaeda's terror, justice has been done, the president said in a late-night address. The founder and leader of al-Qaeda was killed by U.S. forces in a mansion in Abbottabad, north of the Pakistani capital of Islamabad, according to U.S. officials. Congressman Gary Ackerman says this is a historic event.
Bin Laden 1?
Bin Laden 1.
This is one of the biggest deals in the last 100 years.
Said this guy from inside a coffee can.
Joint Special Operations Command forces working with the CIA carried out the pre-dawn mission that brought an end to a 10-year manhunt for the nation's top terrorist target. The strike team was able to recover bin Laden's body, and U.S. officials said early Monday morning that they had already disposed of it at sea, a move aimed at preventing any of bin Laden's followers from creating a shrine in his honor.
You know, but it's totally not true. They've got it in a room somewhere right now, and they're going to take it out at Christmas parties and kick it around. Or, you know, you'll go in to visit a guy, and, you know, at the State Department, he'll be like, hey, hold on a second. Do you want to see bin Laden's spine? And he'll just open a drawer.
They're going to freeze dry him like some people do to their dogs.
Yeah.
And they'll just prop him up somewhere, and that will be one of those secret rooms in the White House. When you become president, they will say, and this is, you know, this is Kennedy's secret love room, and over here, here's where we have bin Laden.
It'll be like Hitler's skull, you know, which is apparently a thing that they just, which I guess is a thing that they just kept in a drawer, literally at the Kremlin, for years. Where a guy was just like, oh, and here we have skull of Hitler. And he would just bring it out and like use it as like a cocktail dish for like peanuts every now and again. And then they would just put it back away. So,
excellent.
The president said the fight against terrorists will continue.
We will be relentless in defense of our citizens and our friends and allies. We will be true to the values that make us who we are. And on nights like this one, we can say to those families who have lost loved ones to al-Qaeda's terror, justice has been done.
Did you see the guy who was... Did you see the live tweet from the live blogging from the guy who actually saw it happen?
No.
It's amazing. It's one of those things that I'll read it. I'll mention it here. This is, are you making a cup of tea?
I am making a cup of tea. Thank you. Yes.
And you? This is how we're there's a lot of stuff going on today, both as regards to this and then just a lot of stuff in general. We mentioned it here, and then I'll actually read the transcript next hour. But there was a guy, some IT guy, who happened to be, because it wasn't like on the outskirts of town, or it wasn't in a cave or under a shrub or something. I mean, he was in like a really well, and you know, he was a very like plushly appointed part of the neighborhood. Apparently, it was in, I think, a mansion surrounded by other mansions, because you know, he was a man of the people, and you know, so fighting for the common man.
But I thought he was hiding in a cave. We were always told he was hiding in a cave.
I think he probably was hiding in a cave until we started bombing all the caves. Then, and also, he's like a rich kid, so I don't think...
Do you think he was ever really in a cave?
I do, but I think rich people get tired of... I think rich people get tired of pretending that they're poor after a while, and so they just go back to being rich people. So he was hiding with the other rich people, and there was an IT guy there who happened to be... It was like as he was sort of vacationing. He was just, you know, trying to get away from it all in Pakistan, like you do. And he had the most amazing series of tweets. It was sort of like, hey, there's a helicopter outside the window. Hey, there seems to be two of them. I'm trying to nap. These helicopters are making a lot of... Ooh, there was an explosion of some kind. Ooh, hey, there was a flash. Hey, now there's a fourth helicopter. And he apparently, without knowing it, tweeted the entire sequence of events as they tracked down this particular manse where bin Laden was. And there's actually now two or three of those people that they found that were sort of in the neighborhood that were twittering about, I don't know, there's a lot of ruckus going on down the street. It's almost like they're bombing somebody into little pieces. I don't know what that's about. I'm trying to sleep. So, well, I'll read those next hour.
Well, no Americans were killed during the operation, a fact Obama stressed during his remarks, although early reports suggest that a woman was killed during the raid when she was used as a shield by one of the men staying in the compound. Two other women were also reportedly injured. In his remarks, the president said only that U.S. forces took care to avoid civilian casualties. In his remarks, the president specifically addressed families directly impacted by the events of September 11th.
We have never forgotten your loss, nor wavered in our commitment to see that we do whatever it takes to prevent another attack on our shores. And tonight, let us think back to the sense of unity that prevailed on 9/11.
The intelligence leading to the assault on a Pakistani compound housing bin Laden was kept secret from all but top U.S. government officials. Retired Army General Mark Kimmett says the information wasn't shared with any other country, including Pakistan, for security reasons.
Once the intelligence got to the point where the commanders who were going to be putting soldiers at risk said, I think we've got enough to work on, then they, in consultation with their chain of command, got permission from the president and executed the mission.
I wonder if that's one of those things where the guys, like, in the... Like, the guys in the helicopter actually knew it, or if they were just told, like, it was... Who's down there? Guy. Well, who are we shooting at? He's bad. Well, yeah, but who is he? You know, it's details. Just go there and clean house.
The president called Bush and Clinton prior to delivering the news to the American public.
It said, in your face!
Meanwhile, top administration officials were calling congressional leaders to brief them in advance of the official announcement. Osama was holed up in a custom-built compound with 12 to 18-foot security walls, multiple interior walls dividing the property, and massive privacy walls blocking even a third-story balcony. This was according to the Washington Post. One of the biggest tip-offs was the fact that the home, despite its estimated price tag of $1 million, had no internet or phone connection.
So really, he was unable to see the tweets from the guy going, you know, helicopter over this house down the street that has these huge walls.
Plus, he hasn't been keeping up with Justified.
Yes.
Politico reported that the fact that bin Laden was killed rather than captured is, quote, extraordinarily politically fortuitous for Obama.
You think?
Because capturing him alive would have raised thorny questions about what to do with him. Which is absolutely true if you think about it.
Well, there was that whole thing about that. Weren't they going to put Malid Sheikh Mohammed? They were going to put him on trial in New York, which is, you know, where the crime was actually committed. And then they ended up not doing that. I think I don't know what happened to that guy. I think they're going to. Is he still in Guantanamo, which I thought was going to be closed, but apparently isn't.
Mission accomplished.
So oh, the. I'm not even sure what that means. Were you being sarcastic?
In a way, it's kind of like Obama's mission accomplished. It's like, and the first thing I'm going to do when I get in office, I'm going to close down Gitmo. And like we're still like looking at our watch going, they still got guys there.
Yeah, I suppose. That guy was going to get tried in New York, and then I think they figured it was just going to be too much of a circus or whatever. That was their reasoning anyway. It was just going to be too much of a cluster fail to try to do that. So he's in a hole somewhere. But yeah, I mean, if they had brought him back, it would have been. I mean, to say that would have been a legally and politically complicated situation is probably like a vast understatement. So I think it's fortuitous, like. For everybody that he was just blown into kibbles and bits, because now we can just forget about it.
Well, I thought that Obama looked remarkably relaxed and confident.
Oh, yeah. He's had a great day.
Well, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, you think they probably told him, like, oh, we just blew up Obama.
Osama. He knew.
Yeah, he knew. Yeah, he's hosed.
It's like totally going on, you know. It was all getting put into place while he was there. So he's like going...
I know something you don't know.
Glare at me all you want, Donald Trump.
Yeah, seriously. That might explain it, actually. That's the... And I just did the thing now of saying, you know, of mixing up the Obama-Osama. But, you know who... It was on Fox News, and it must have been... It couldn't have been Geraldo Rivera. It was somebody else on Fox News that I think... did the same thing I just did, where they switched Obama Osama, and then they followed. I'll see if I can get audio on this. Somebody was going to actually send me the film of this, of saying, this is just me replicating the Fox News thing for purposes of explication. This is not me actually saying this. This is not actually the case. Let's no one flood the streets in panic. But the guy on Fox News opened his mouth to say, you know, Osama is dead, and he said, Obama is dead. And then he did, like, this classic Fox News thing of just going, ho, 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 did I just say that? Ah! And then kind of arching an eyebrow at the camera. So I'll see if I can find the audio on that. But, that must have been a thing where they just pulled Obama aside and just said, that thing you asked us to take care of, we took care of it. And then he was just like, okay. You know, like, the rest of the night is just a cakewalk.
And now to have dinner.
Seriously, dinner and then a lady of my choosing. It is a fine evening to be I.
So Bush, of course, had to make a statement on it. And he said that he spoke to President Obama shortly after 9 p.m. Sunday when he was informed. He said that I congratulated him and the men and women of our military and intelligence communities who devoted their lives to this mission. They have our everlasting gratitude. This momentous achievement marks a victory for America, for people who seek peace around the world, and for all those who lost loved ones on September 11th, 2001. The fight against terror goes on, but tonight America has sent an unmistakable message. No matter how long it takes, justice will be done.
He
said while gritting his teeth and clenching his fists.
Damn stupid Barack Obama.
The thing that's hilarious about this is the Associated Press reported that flag-waving supporters left flowers and patriotic balloons outside Bush's home in Dallas.
Just to make him feel better.
A dozen or so backers were gathered. A dozen or so were outside his house early Monday morning with U.S. flags. One was holding a sign that said, thank you, President Bush.
I wonder if his family hired them just to come by, just to make him feel a little less alone about the entire situation.
Go by W's house and just give him a little cheer.
Just sitting there watching monster truck rallies on television, you know. What? They didn't? Garbage. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, May 2nd. 2011. Coming up later on this hour, you got your entertainment news. Also, Science on the March. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Today, we got a Taser Watch, Hick Watch, Corpse Watch coming up. Also, Mr. Ryan White for the Oregonian, music editor from the Oregonian. Ryan White will be in the studio with us. And Aaron Duran with the Week in Geek. That is all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Or you, yes, you, can be entertained for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. That's what freedom is all about.
TriMet is investigating an incident Saturday in which a MAX train left a station with a toddler on board, separating her from her father, who is still on the platform. Kevin James?
Was he accompanied by an absurdly hot wife that he didn't deserve?
I bet Adam Sandler's behind it. And his two-year-old...
Yeah, I put the toddler on the bus.
It's a terrible Adam Sandler, but you knew what I was doing there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with him and his kid, but I'll bet that it was David Spade being irresponsible.
Was it an ensuing form of hilarity that then occupied police for the better part of the evening?
Kevin James and his 2-year-old daughter were quickly reunited, but TriMet's Becky Witt said Sunday the agency is trying to figure out exactly what happened. James blames the train's operator, saying the operator was not paying attention and took off down the track, even though he was hard to miss as he tried to load a bike trailer. You're not paying attention when you're not seeing the flag, you're not seeing the trailer, and you're not paying attention when the people are waving their arms frantically to the driver, like, stop.
So I'm unclear about this. Where was the toddler?
I guess he put the kid, like, on the train. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I guess he was on the train. He got on the train and
Is this a story problem? You can be honest.
The kid was still on the platform, I guess, and he was loading things onto the train, and then they just shut the doors and took off while he was on, you know, loading the kid's pushy SUV stroller thing.
So he loaded the kid first and then some other stuff, but between loading the kid and the other stuff, the doors actually shut and the kid was whisked away.
Yeah, or vice versa. It says he pressed the emergency stop buttons on the side of the train. So, yeah, so I guess... Yeah.
You don't really know what's in this story.
I don't know. I know there was a guy, there was his kid. One was on the train, one wasn't. They got mad at TriMet. They don't know why.
Okay.
But apparently he found his kid again, so hooray. Everyone lived happily ever after. And now he can go back to his job at UPS and have wacky adventures with his hot wife and his zany father-in-law who lives in the basement.
Okay. We're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia. Yes, there is the word news in the name of this program, unbelievably. At Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get it later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. You can also take it with you on your mobile device. It is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm.
A police officer in Le Centre, Washington, now knows what it's like to be a victim. Last Friday night, someone stole Sergeant Bob Scott's police-issued assault rifle, bulletproof vest, and ammunition from his personal truck in his driveway. The items were locked in the bed of the truck. I thought I was keeping it secure and out of the view of the public, he said. But sometime between last Friday night and Saturday morning, the items were gone. Sergeant Scott feels someone was spying, watching him put his police weapons into his personal car. He said it makes you feel less secure in your own neighborhood. Le Centre doesn't have a policy where officers are required to lock up guns in special cases or devices, but the Clark County Sheriff's Office does, which is you are required to safely store your guns in an appropriate safe lock device. So the department is investigating the case. He feels sick that one of his guns is in the hands of a criminal. There's anger, he said. You want to know who did it and why.
This is going to be like that, you haven't gotten to this part of The Wire. Have you? Have you gotten to the part of the missing gun?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've got
that. It's like Dozerman's gun out on the street all over again.
Yeah. We have happy news.
Excellent. What sort of happy news is this?
Animal news.
All right. Here's your happy animal news for Monday right here at Legion of News.
Portland Animal Hospital Dove Lewis held its annual Blood Donor Appreciation event Saturday, and a dog that needed blood used the opportunity to thank the donor dogs that helped save her life. The blood drive was held from 2 to 4 p.m. Saturday at the Lucky Lab on Southeast Hawthorne. Dogs that donated blood were rewarded with doggy cupcakes and treats. A 5-year-old shepherd mix named Sydney was the star of the event. She received blood from 5 different Dove Lewis blood donor dogs after being hit by a car. She made a full recovery and wanted to thank the donors who helped save her life, according to Tiffany Mueller with Dove Lewis. Sydney's owner, Tim Bowden, said she wouldn't have survived without the blood transfusion. So Sydney met Winna, Kira, Diamond, Sparkle, and Hegg at the event. Hegg was one of the dogs.
As in?
Alexander Hegg.
Okay.
Along with more than 70 additional blood donor dogs. A dog named Bear was honored as the first to donate more than 40 units of blood in her lifetime. 8 other dogs were recognized for donating more than 30 units of blood each.
So Tiffany Mueller from Dove Lewis, we've had her on Outlook Portland several times, including we had her on about, about 3 weeks ago we did our most recent show. We do a couple of shows with Dove Lewis every year, which is basically, I invert the W.C. Fields rule about animals and kids. He had this whole thing about don't ever act with animals or kids because nobody will ever pay attention to you. I view animals and children, having them on the show is just, that's a show where I don't even really need to show up and we get good ratings. So if you actually tune in, you will see me with, I think at one point, 3 different dogs that are all wearing like bedazzled and rhinestone sort of clothing. I think one of the dogs is actually wearing a sort of ballerina skirt and the dog's name is Twinkie.
I think that's one of the dogs that gave blood.
Not entirely. Not surprising.
Nope, that was Sparkle.
So Tiffany Mueller is actually, so she's great. She's one of our favorite guests. And the thing about this story, though, is that, well, a couple things. A.
You could stop the happy dog music.
No, the story is continuing.
Okay.
I'm just saying, A, this is sort of a great, this is a great, distinctly and I believe uniquely Portland thing, because I don't think the idea of a 24-hour, I don't think there is a 24-hour animal hospital or 24-hour pet hospital anywhere in any other metropolitan city, even in places like L.A. and San Francisco. The last time I checked, they didn't have anything like that. So Dove Lewis is one of those things that you can look at Portland and, you know, it does sort of set us – it is a very Portland thing that we actually have that, and that we do these, like, massive fundraisers for it several times a year, including – what's his name? Seth Aaron from Project Runway, who I swear to God – designed a custom outfit for a chicken this year for the Dove Lewis, you know, for their, like, fashion show thing that they do.
When I first got my dog Bella, she was still just a puppy. She was just past being a puppy. And we went to the Dove Lewis fundraiser at the Lucky Lab where local celebrities wash your dog.
Yes.
And Gustav washed my dog.
Really?
Yes.
Excellent. Did he? Never mind. So the other thing I will say is
he put little Eurotrash sunglasses on her, and
I was going to ask if he taught it a sort of robotic dance step to go with its Kraftwerk records. The other thing is, this is really, to be a dog is just to be so malleable if anybody's willing to give you a treat in exchange for something. Because really, when you think about it, a dog doesn't know what the hell a blood transfusion is. The dog doesn't know that it's necessary. A dog doesn't know that it's needed. A dog doesn't know what the nature of its injuries are. I mean, really, when you think about it, you're jamming a big piece of metal and a tube into a dog and draining away its bodily fluids. But at the end, if you give it a little snack, all is forgiven. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
It'll let you do anything as long as there's some tiny bit of kibble at the end of the road for it. So
I'm kind of the same way, though. I'm
well,
just saying.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump says that he thought the ribbing he took from President Barack Obama and comedian Seth Meyers at Saturday night's White House Correspondents' Dinner was rather personal. But he said he enjoyed the evening. This is Trump.
Trump won.
Hey, look, it's my honor. I understand it. It was a lion's pit. I was walking into it. I've been there before. And, you know, I thought it was an entertaining evening.
Yeah, they kept going. The cameraman kept going to Trump while Seth Meyers was talking
not
about
amused.
Him. And he was not happy.
He didn't look happy at
no,
any point.
No, no. In fact, he looked actively angry.
Well, why would – I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, why would you go to that and not – I mean, look, I love Donald Trump at all. I really do. And I admire anybody who can just – I admire anybody who can make the entire world pay attention to him over just, like, insane nonsense. I mean, who can just sort of snap his fingers and summon everybody to cover him. Like, actual real... I don't mean, like, this dumb show. I mean, like, actual real legitimate news organizations would just show up and film him as though he was making sense. Like, as though anything he said mattered or was important. They would just say, uh-huh, and they would dutifully write it down, and they would report it. So, good for him for that. I don't understand exactly... Because he's not a dumb guy. I don't get why he thinks that he was going to show up and not be the object of ridicule, because I think we all kind of knew that that was happening.
Yeah.
So.
So Trump was in the audience, and he says the night was entertaining.
Well, they were pretty personal, but, you know, I expected that I was going to be zinged. People
zinged.
Really weren't sure. Were they going to mention me at all, or were they going to mention me a little bit? Nobody had any idea that it would take up a majority of their both speeches.
Oh, I think everybody but Donald Trump had an idea of that.
Trump says he thought President Barack Obama did well, but he wasn't so keen on Seth Meyers, who joked about Trump's hair, politics, and experience.
His presentation was very poor, and he got some pretty poor marks. I thought the president actually did much better. I mean, the presentation certainly was a lot better.
Pretty poor marks. The East German judges only gave him 7.2.
It was one of the weakest standing ovations I've ever seen. They were laughing, but they didn't really mean it.
They weren't laughing on the inside, though.
They were laughing because they felt they had to.
All right. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Next hour of the Rick Emerson radio program. Today, Hick Watch, Corpse Watch, Taser Watch, Mr. Aaron Duran with The Week in Geek, and Ryan White, music editor from The Oregonian. All of those good things will be happening next hour at RickEmersonShow.com.
Let's do our science.
Here's your Science in the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com. That is SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. You can also go to Facebook.com/SquiresElectric to find out, A, what they do, and B, the sort of things that require their attention. Now, these are not necessarily situations, circumstances that might be replicated in your own home. These are, let's say, some misguided, some ill-advised attempts by folks to fix things that are going on inside their own abode. such as just using a nail gun on a wall without checking to see that the wall might be full of, you know, wires and whatnot. Also, I think several fires. Also, I think there's several large things that have been melted down into small things, and several indistinct puddles of plasticky goo that were once parts of a home. So if you want to see what could happen if you choose poorly or try to do the electrical work yourself without the necessary understanding or background or intelligent or intellectual underpinning, you go to facebook.com/Squires Electric. Then you call them at 503-252-1609. Even if you're not going to call them today, I would strongly recommend, really, like in the... And here's the thing. Don't just say, like, well, bookmark the page. You know, your electricity goes out, you're not able to get on the internet. How are you gonna look at the bookmark then, Mr. Smarty Man? So you write it down, you know, with a pen or a thing, a quill of some sort. 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors, and they are proud sponsors of this Science of the March here at Legion of News.
Everything else about an automobile is being retooled to be leaner and greener, so it was only a matter of time before spark plugs got a second look. While they might seem an essential component for ignition, a group of Japanese researchers think that lasers can do a better job. If you want to save Vaseline, cut CO2 and emissions with more power, new ignition should be required, said Takanori Taira, the associate professor of laser research at the Institute for Molecular Science in Okazaki, Japan.
Awesome. That's the best place in the world to work.
His team developed the new system. Each composite laser is made from ceramic powders heated up to become transparent and then embedded with metal ions. Separate segments of the material are bonded together to make a laser that's nearly half an inch long. Several fast pulses provide enough concentrated optical energy for one of the tiny lasers to ignite an air-fuel mixture. Unlike spark plugs, the lasers don't have electrodes that erode over time, making them ideal for use in clean fuel vehicles. Tyra said that the laser also works faster than a spark plug, which should prove fuel efficiency. Other existing large pulse megawatt lasers are complicated, unstable, inefficient, and costly, he said. And until recently, pulse lasers were too large for use in automobile engines. But the new ceramic laser system that his team created can fit into an engine cylinder head.
I don't even understand what the laser is going to be used for, but it's an awesome story. Also, that there's a society for, you know, a center for advanced laser research.
Well, it's the thing. The spark plug ignites the fuel, which causes the combustion in the combustion engine. So in this case, it would be, instead of the spark plug, which is an electrical charge and which can wear out, it'll be a tiny little laser, and that will, like, do the combustion.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes. A dead 32-foot sperm whale has washed up on a Sydney, Australia beach, with rescuers struggling to remove it as the animal's blood runs into the water, attracting sharks.
Okay, can I be watching this online as it happens? Is there a video camera there that'll allow me to...
video, but I will send you the photo. There's the photo of the 32.
Wow.
It's big.
That's a large whale.
That's a big whale.
Where is this at?
Sydney, Australia.
Okay.
The carcass, believed to weigh up to 12 tons, beached on a rock platform at Newport on Sydney's northern beaches, and is proving difficult to move.
It's a whale.
Reports said it is badly decomposed and missing its tail, making it impossible to tow out to sea. Northern Beaches Area Manager for National Parks and Wildlife Service, Chris Grudnoff, said it was hard to know what to do. He told the local Manly Daily newspaper, "The tide's wrong, the mass size of the mammal makes the situation difficult, and there was a choppy southerly blowing, which made getting boat in impossible. We haven't had that much experience in Sydney with large dead whales. It's a whole new ball game, so we're waiting for advice from a marine expert before we make a decision as to how we will move it."
Why doesn't it have a tail, do you suppose?
It might have just rotted off. They said they said they don't know how the whale died, but they said it looked like the tail had been taken off by sharks.
Ah.
So it may have been attacked by sharks, lost its tail, and then beached and died.
Okay, you know what somebody should totally do? They should get some large dead creature like this, like a whale, or just construct a pseudo whale out of like hamburger or something. Just get a massive amount of just meat and just mold it into the shape of a whale. And then just fill it full of cameras and drop it in the ocean so we can then retrieve it and watch it later on Discovery during Shark Week. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, what would it look like if you were the one being eaten by a shark? And then they replicate that by just filling some sort of edible thing full of cameras and dropping it in the sea.
We will tell them if they want our advice here in Oregon, don't blow it up with dynamite.
No, ixnay. Blow it up. That's exactly what you do. Dawn, isn't that right?
blowing up the whale is the correct way to proceed, isn't it?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, it will dissolve it into tiny little pieces.
Into harmless whale spray.
Nothing bad will happen.
Exactly. Sort of a, you know.
A rain of giant hunks of rotting blubber will not come down upon your cars and children.
It becomes a sort of ichthyological potpourri.
Okay, so I put the whale picture in the Dropbox
Sweet.
For you. Babies who are exposed before birth to ethylbenzene, a toxic component in crude oil, may have a higher risk of developing congenital heart disease, U.S. researchers said Saturday. Another chemical used as an industrial metal degreasing agent, trichloroethylene, also TCE, also boosted heart risks, according to research presented at the Pediatric Academy Academic Society's annual meeting in Denver, Colorado. Pediatric Academic Society's meeting. That was hard to say. Congenital heart disease occurs when the heart is malformed before birth, and it's the most common of all birth defects. Previous studies have suggested it could be caused by chemicals in the environment. Researchers collected stool samples from 135 newborn babies with a heart condition and 432 infants without it. A full 82% of all the infants showed exposure to at least one of the 17 solvents measured in the study. White but not black infants who showed exposure to ethylbenzene had four times the risk of CHD. Black infants exposed to trichloroethylene showed an eightfold risk for the heart condition, and white infants with the traces in their stool had a twofold higher risk.
Seems like I ought to be able to make some joke about somebody named ethylbenzene. But there are really no pharmaceutical mascots.
No.
No, I've got nothing.
Not so much.
Okay. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Here is Don Taylor.
The high-profile voyage of the Endeavour space shuttle, the next-to-last space shuttle flight led by the husband of wounded Representative Gabrielle Giffords, is off until at least next Sunday because of a technical problem. The latest culprit, believed to be a bad fuse box, illustrates just how complex one of these space machines are. And why...
Does it really say space machine?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And why NASA's goodbye to the 30-year-old shuttle program may be a long one. NASA's Mike Moses says the astronauts have all been sent home.
The crew has departed. Their families are on their way home. All the support teams from other centers around the country have gone home or are in the process of going home.
The tip-off the Endeavour had a problem was the failure of heaters that are crucial for keeping a fuel line from freezing in space. The launch was called off Friday as the astronauts headed to the pad to board the shuttle. NASA has now traced the problem to the switch box. Moore says May 8th is now the soonest they could launch.
It's not going to be any earlier than the 8th. That doesn't mean we're going to go launch on the 8th. That just means we know right now the 8th is our next available opening. So we'll kind of start looking at that, but we're really not even setting the schedules today.
The amazing story of Mr. Moore and his fantastic levitational contraption.
His space machine.
Or space machine.
That's all the science.
It's a flying automobile, Don. There's your Science on the March brought to you by Squires Electric at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
A Virginia man's attempt to blame his fresh wounds on a bear didn't save him from burglary charge on Thursday night. Spotsylvania, Virginia Sheriff.
Spotsylvania.
That okay. is an actual place in Virginia, Spotsylvania.
All right.
Spotsylvania Sheriff's Lieutenant Colonel Michael Tim said Deputy Patricia Purcell went to the Little Academy in the 4700 block of Plank Road shortly before 10 p.m.
Spotsylvania totally sounds like a place where the Little Academy would be.
Yeah.
The
Little Academy yes. in Spotsylvania in response to an alarm activation. She immediately noticed a broken door and saw a man walking toward her from the rear of the business and eating a banana. Purcell asked the man if he knew what had happened, and he motioned toward the front of the building where the glass door had been smashed. Asked about the bleeding cut on his forehead, the man explained that he lives in the woods and was chased by a bear 2 days ago. Suspicious of the man's bear story and his level of intoxication, Purcell detained him for further questioning. Detectives found glass shards in the mud on the bottom of his boots, and a police dog traced a scent from inside the business to where Purcell had seen the man walking. Along the track, police found a banana peel and rocks that matched rocks near the broken glass. The business owners arrived and told police two laptop computers were missing. The man later said they might want to look on the roof because, quote, if I took them, that's where I'd hide them.
In some parallel world where he was guilty of the crime.
The computers weren't found. But 56-year-old Carth Henry Hunt Jr. was charged with burglary, grand larceny, vandalism, and public intoxication.
Well, wait a minute. So when he said, you might want to look on the roof, if I took them, that's where I'd put them. He was just, was he just cagily trying to throw them off the scent?
Maybe, or maybe he was unsure if he took them or not.
Okay. Maybe he was no longer able to recollect exactly where he might have put those things.
I mean, he was eating a banana and said he'd been attacked by a bear.
And was presumably drunk.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
The Portland Timbers beat Real Salt Lake 1-0 on Saturday night. That's the name of the team, by the way, Real Salt Lake.
I don't understand. Is there like a... Are they the Real Salt Lake somethings?
No, apparently they are Real Salt Lake. And okay. In the story it says, the Timbers dealt Real their first loss of the season after a 22nd-minute goal from Timber Kenny Cooper. Khalif Al-Hassan crossed the ball to Cooper inside the penalty box. Saturday night's game marks the Timbers' third consecutive home win and the team's first game where the opposing team didn't score a goal.
I will say that if the Twitter traffic is any indication, it may not be. There's a whole lot of people who went to this game, to the game you were just talking about against Salt Lake, that had never been to one before. I think I think in the space of just 5 or 10 minutes, I saw 7 or 8 people who said that that was the first game that they had opted to go to. So there's, I don't know, there's some sort of a real traction being had in terms of the attendance there. But it's always good to see Utah defeated in something.
A woman was brutally assaulted and held against her will in a North Portland home until officers reached her Saturday afternoon. A suspect was taken into custody. Portland police responded at 4 p.m. to a call that a woman was being held captive, according to Detective Bill Winters. Officers received information that the woman had been assaulted to the point of severe injury and was being kept in a bedroom in the house. They feared she was in need of serious medical attention. They discovered the location of the house in the 9800 block of North Midway Avenue and staged an ambulance nearby. Officers then formulated a plan to approach and enter the residence, which included containment of the location, a custody team, an entry team, and canine assistance. Upon entry into the house, the officer located the woman in the back bedroom. She was treated and taken to a nearby hospital. The suspect, Kip Kawamoto, was arrested and charged with assault, rape, sodomy, and kidnapping.
I'd have to make light of the situation, but his first name and last name don't really go together. Kip, what is his last name?
Kawamoto.
Okay, and his first name is Kip?
Kip.
All right. First of all, is Kip short for something? Sort of like a Kipolymus or
I don't
Kipinski
know.
Or
I know Kit is short for Christopher. But I think Kip...
Is Kip its own name? Is it a self-contained name? I don't really understand the logic of parents who would name their child Kip. Because Kip seems... I mean, Kip seems like a name that you give your kid if you want him to be some sort of tiresome douchebag in a bar that never gets laid.
Yeah, I mean, I hear the name Kip and I think of kind of like an aging surf bum who's a little bloated from too much beer.
Or just, you know, some dick who works in the cubicle like 2 down from you in the office and always wears, you know, wears too much cologne.
Yeah.
Cologne with names like New York Knights.
Axe body spray. He wears that.
Incidentally, we've now received 700,000 messages about the soccer thing. So apparently it is not pronounced Real Salt Lake. It is pronounced Real. And it is, let's see, it is Spanish. Let's see if I've got this right here. So it is pronounced Real, and it is Spanish for Ray, which is royal. Because that's what you think of when you think of Salt Lake. You think of, first of all, you think of Spanish people. You think of, really, you just think of people from, you think of people from all different cultures and ethnicities when you think of Salt Lake. And you think of royalty. Also, if it's from Ray, which is royal, why would it be Real? It looks like those are two different words altogether.
So it's Spanish,
when you say, No, they're not saying it's Spanish. They're saying it's from Spanish. That implies that the Spanish and the word they're actually using are two different things.
So it's like it's faux Spanish, like Tostito?
Yes, it's exactly. Yes, it's just like Tostito. It is spelled R-E-A-L. It is apparently from says someone named Miguel, and he would know, Don. Apparently is from the Spanish, Ray. And yet it's spelled differently, pronounced differently, is a different word.
And Ray means, like, king.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
And then they put it in front of the name of the city in direct contradiction of traditional naming conventions, where we have the name of the city and then the name of the team.
Although I believe it was actually Spanish, that makes sense, because then you're putting the modifier before the noun.
Yeah, but you'd want your, it would be Real de, like, you know, Salt Lake City or something like that.
It's very confusing. All right.
I hate them. I'm glad they lost.
There are sworn enemies. Die. Die.
U.S. adults consume 22.2 teaspoons of sugar a day, or 355 calories, and reducing the amount of sugar can reduce weight, a U.S. food expert says.
A food expert.
A food expert.
Okay. All right.
Phil Lempert, a food industry analyst, trend watcher, and creator of the website supermarketguru.com.
He sounds reputable. I'm going to turn to him for advice on all aspects of my life.
Says Americans eat more than double the daily recommended amount of sugar added to food. An appropriate amount for a woman with an energy requirement of 1,800 calories a day would be no more than 100 calories, or 6 1/4 teaspoons from added sugar, while a man with a requirement of 2,200 calories a day should eat or drink no more than 150 calories from added sugar, or 9.4 teaspoons.
Said the guy from supermarketingguru.com.
Right.
Was patented cashflowsystem.com taken?
Added sugar is considered discretionary calories, and diets high in added sugar are linked to obesity, high blood pressure, increased triglycerides, and cardiovascular disease, according to the American Heart Association.
And this expert.
Yes.
Right.
So he says, and you might want to keep this in mind, for those watching their weight or monitoring their glucose levels, trying to limit sugar consumption will be beneficial.
Okay.
Right. He says, just basically putting his big stamp on the obvious.
Okay. Right. Supermarketing guru.
In other words, if you're not supposed to be eating much sugar, don't eat so much sugar.
All right. You know, Don, if you don't watch your figure, no one else will.
Plainville, Connecticut police had an unusual situation at their DUI checkpoint early Sunday morning when a woman went into labor.
Was there really something unusual in Plainville?
It was.
Okay.
Officers were conducting a DUI checkpoint on Route 177. I'm sure you know Route 177.
Like the back of my hand.
That required every car to stop at the checkpoint and be briefly interviewed. However, as Mr. and Mrs. Trevor Hairston approached the checkpoint at 12:50 a.m., police were told that Mrs. Hairston was in labor, and she believed she was about to deliver. An ambulance was requested, but police were told the response time was at least 10 minutes out. Officers immediately jumped into action and worked as a team. So it was a chance to see a lady's hoo-ha.
Yes, that's exactly why.
Police entered the car.
Because that's when you want to see it. That's when it's at its sexiest. I like ladies who are all stretched out and shoving things.
With a head coming out.
Yeah. Nothing sexier than a woman covered in afterbirth. Ooh.
Police entered the car and found the birth was literally minutes away.
Uh-huh.
Two other officers prepared medical equipment, handed into the vehicle. That would be the boiling water and torn sheets,
exactly.
If I know my medicine correctly. As the officers inside prepared to deliver the baby on scene, at exactly 1 a.m., Christian Hairston, oh, he is doomed to just be a big douchebag. Christian Hairston, 5 pounds, 7 ounces, and 18 inches long, entered the world. Paramedics arrived on the scene, checked the baby, and handed him to the mother. Bethel Hairston. Oh, my God. Bethel and Trevor Hairston.
Do they have the third after their name? Do they have monogram towels at home?
And their kid is Christian Hairston.
Of course. Yes.
Were transported to the hospital for special care at New Britain General Hospital.
Of course
they went to New Britain General Hospital. Bethel and Trevor did.
Well, of course. That's where all the finest people go, Don. If you go to the other hospitals, you have to deal with a bunch of rabble.
The Hairstons have a wing.
You have to wait with the commoners.
Let's do entertainment.
All right. Oh, apparently, by the way, just like nine people have now simultaneously said. So just so we can put this to bed here. So apparently it is Real because the sponsor club is Real Madrid. So that's why. So I guess they are. Is the sponsor club like a sister city? Or is it like a franchise? In other words, is the money, not that I'm seriously expecting you to know the answer. I'm just looking at you because you're the only other person in the room. Because none of these people here are actually present, so I have to look at you.
Okay.
Plus Dawn.
I'm pretty.
Well, there's that as well. So I guess the deal is that I don't know if they're actually funded by the team in Madrid or if there's like some international like confederated, you know, soccer leagues of the globe or something, and it's like you have to be a Philly. Is it like a sort of like you got to be like being a made man, like you have to know a guy already on the inside?
I think it's like a fraternity. There's some kind of like a hazing that goes on.
It's like a legacy system. Somebody
they all
has
have to. Yeah, they all have to run around in their underpants and get swatted with the ceremonial paddle.
I think we're talking about different things here, but okay.
Oh.
All right.
I could be wrong.
Lie in a coffin. Tell me about your sex life. Here's Don Taylor.
Entertainment.
All right. Here's, let's see, your entertainment news for Monday. Right here at Legion of News.
Oh, ladies, it's a sad day. Lorenzo Lamas has gotten married again.
Damn.
53-year-old Lamas has wed 24-year-old Shauna Craig. at Casa Dorado Resort in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico.
Wait, is Shauna Craig? Who is Shauna Craig? Is that another chick from the World Poker Tour? That's Shauna Hyatt.
Yeah. All right. This is Lamas's fifth marriage. And I'll bet you these crazy kids are going to get it right this time.
Well, you know, look, you learn by doing. Done.
Law & Order Special Victims Unit actress Mariska Hargitay talked to People last week at the Good Shepherd Services Spring Gala in New York and talked about the adoption of her daughter, Amaya Josephine. "It's very soothing to the heart," said Hargitay. "I feel like she really completed our little family of four." The 47-year-old added that Hargitay is also zen and so peaceful.
Well, I would imagine that when your life starts by being directly behind your mother as she's beheaded in the car, you know, and then you are packed off to live with your relatives, and that you get big intractable crazy eyes because of that, everything else in your life is relatively moderate in terms of the excitement level.
Everything else is zen.
Seriously, when you begin with beheading, I mean, it's all downhill from there in terms of adrenaline.
The Associated Press reports that Lindsay Lohan will enter a no-contest plea to close the criminal case, which has her allegedly stealing a $2,500 necklace. A source claims the actress wants to finish the case and concentrate on her acting career.
Okay.
Lohan was sentenced to 4 months in jail for probation violation and is set to return to court for a pretrial hearing on May 11th. She's currently free on bail.
You know, and here's the thing about Lindsay Lohan is, you take a good look at her. I mean, when she's not, you know, made up and under, you know, soft focus lenses, whatever. And, I mean, this is the thing about drugs, is that they do artificially age you. I mean, if nothing else, that's why you probably want to reconsider abusing your body with chemicals. Because she's got the thing, it's like, there's no amount of dermabrasion in the world that is going to return. I mean, the bloom is off that rose,
no,
I think, permanently.
No, she's still in her 20s, and she looks haggard.
She really, doesn't she kind of look like, I mean, not this bad, but she kind of looks like one of the faces of meth people. Where it's just where you look and you go, how old are you? And like, I'm 19, you know, and it's and they've just got this mini pearl face going on, and she kind of has a little bit of that, which is unfortunate.
Also, I think she's just poison inside,
yes.
And that makes you unattractive as well.
No, it's I don't think I could
I mean,
find
look
her.
What happened to Tara Reid?
I haven't seen Tara Reid.
No,
I don't remember the last
no
time.
No one has.
I remember the last time I actually saw her doing anything new. That's a good question. What the hell is the last thing that Tara Reid actually did?
Honest to God, the last thing I ever saw of Tara Reid was a photograph of her in a magazine where she was somewhere wearing a bikini, and it showed how all of, like, her liposuction and implants and things were
all lumpified.
She was all lumpy and weird looking.
She was like a beanbag chair that was underfilled. I think I saw her when it was that same photograph. It must have been the plastic surgery photograph. And then I made one of my, you know, Court and Bobby and I we have different ways of we live at opposite ends of the spectrum. They do their once a year, you know, their Lebowski, you know, the March of Lebowski's and the showing of it. I do a once a year attempt to make it all the way through the movie. I have yet to succeed, incidentally. But it's got that whole sequence where she's just sitting out there in the sun, like isn't that her in the, like, she's on the recliner,
she's
funny. Hot as a supernova.
Yeah.
I mean, just like scorchingly hot, and it just.
Well, she was like in Josie and the Pussycats, a grossly underrated movie, by the way. She was adorable.
It just makes you sad.
Yeah.
It's like when you read about all that art that was burned by the Nazis.
Yes. It's exactly like that. Well, news from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, a town we love. Actor Charlie Sheen says he was organizing a relief event for tornado victims. After a tour of the decimated Alberta neighborhood in Tuscaloosa, Sheen told the Associated Press on Monday he's working with local officials to organize a benefit. He said a date has not been set. Sheen said he wants to give the area money, hope, faith, and healing, and he says he's shocked by the extent of the damage. Sheen was planning to spend the day in Tuscaloosa, meeting with residents and first responders. He posed for photographs with police officers and National Guard soldiers.
You suppose that makes your life better or worse? If you're sitting there and your house has been destroyed, you don't have any job left, there's sewage everywhere, there's flies, and there's just destruction as far as the eye can see. And then a helicopter lands, and it's Charlie Sheen gets out. I mean, at that point, do you want to just kind of go hide? Or do you figure that, you know?
I think that's one of those moments where you just go, my life could not get any weirder right now.
Probably. That's a thing where you would officially have to do like a reality check on yourself to see if you would if your cheese had finally come loose from your cracker.
Yeah. A tornado took my house, and now Charlie Sheen is here.
Who will take your wife, by the way.
He was traveling with one of his goddesses and former Major League Baseball player Todd Zale.
Okay. Does he just pick people up? Does he just sort of just swing through like Batman at the end of a whoosh and just grab people and then keep them for a day or two and then release them somewhere?
Grammy-nominated artist Kid Rock told nearly 10,000 people at the Detroit NAACP branch's annual fundraising dinner that his use of the Confederate flag during his performances has nothing to do with how he feels about blacks. "I love America, I love Detroit, and I love black people," the musician said Sunday night during the annual Fight for Freedom Fund dinner at the Cobo Center. Kid Rock, whose real name is Robert Ritchie, used the event to defuse criticism aimed at the Detroit NAACP branch, which honored him with its Great Expectations Award.
I was just about to say, like, really, that's none of these things are as interesting as the fact that he was being honored by the NAACP, which, I mean, I don't have any issue with it. It's just strange.
Yeah, the Michigan native said his use of the flag derives from a popular song by the legendary Southern rock group Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm not sure that makes it any better.
Well, it's just... Again, back in the whole, do they specify exactly what it is that he had done to earn this honorarium?
They said he was honored for his advocacy of the city of Detroit.
Okay, well, fair enough.
He said the president of the local NAACP there said, "We're not lifting up the flag. We're lifting up a gentleman who worked very hard to be a booster for Detroit."
Okay.
So a political consultant in Detroit named Adolph Mungo, which is a great name, said of the Confederate flag, it stands...
Mongo-like flag!
It stands for hatred, bigotry, racism, murder. Every bigot and racist in this country loves that flag. He helped ignite a Confederate flag outside the NAACP fundraiser about 5 p.m. It took several attempts with a cigarette lighter before the flag caught fire to chants of burn, baby, burn.
Oh God, everyone in this story is stupid.
Yeah.
My Lord, I think we found some sort of perfect ignorant storm here, because everyone involved with this story on every level is worthy of contempt.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Well, okay.
And Richie said he's never flown that flag with hate in his heart.
Yeah. I think here's the thing, and I really do believe that from that guy. I believe it for the same reason that I believe the Dukes of Hazzard probably didn't mean anything by it, because you just don't imagine there being that much thought put into it. I mean, I think flying it with hate in your heart implies that you've actually stopped and really thought the issues all the way through. And I think, frankly, he's probably too busy with bitches and blow to really give much thought to the deep, the deep issues of our day. Also, I read a great interview with him the other day where he was lamenting the fact that he chose the name Kid Rock as his stage name. He said, "That's the worst effing name I possibly could have chosen. It's the dumbest stage name ever."
Well, at least he knows that.
He's just like, "I'm going to be 85 years of age." And he's like, "If anybody sees me, they're going to go Kid Rock." And he's like, "I'm going to be an 80-year-old guy on stage called Kid." He's like, "I would give anything to go back and do it over again."
Well, he could be like Dwayne Johnson. He could just go to his regular name and just drop it, just leave it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like Mark Wahlberg. I mean, yes, we still call him Marky Mark, but we call him that sort of ironically. He doesn't actually go by it anymore.
Here's the thing. Here's just back just to tie it all up with the whole Kid Rock being honored by the NAACP thing. And I swear to God, not making this up, honored by the New York Association for Black Journalists, Lisa Desjardins.
Oh, well, good for her.
And I've never really gotten a full explanation of that. It was just really one of the...
She's a proud black woman?
She is. It's one of the great mysteries of life. It's a thing I almost don't want solved at this point. Here's Don Taylor.
Directed Quentin Tarantino's next movie is a Western titled Django Unchained. The Weinstein Company will distribute the film. His last film was the World War II film Inglourious Basterds. I don't know anything about this, and I'm just wondering, is it because he helped distribute Sukiyaki Western Django, which was a Hong Kong film, or was it Korean? So I'm wondering if this is a remake of this or somehow related to that.
When he distributed it, was it a theatrical thing, or was it that Rolling Thunder company?
No, he helped get it released. So I'm not sure what his thing. Yeah. Filmmaker Steven Soderbergh, who I swear to God said he was retiring and wasn't going to make any more movies, which I thought was sad.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, Steven Soderbergh will direct Channing Tatum in a movie based on Tatum's own past as an adult entertainer.
Tatum.
In the picture, Tatum will play a stripper who teaches a younger stripper the tricks and trades of the business.
Sweet.
I didn't know Channing Tatum used to be a male stripper.
I did not know that either.
Huh.
I thought if you were... Never mind.
An estimated 22.78 million viewers watched the royal wedding on Friday, according to the Associated Press. The wedding was broadcast over 11 networks, including CBS, ABC, NBC, Telemundo, CNN, and BBC America. Did you watch the royal wedding?
It was sort of like I don't remember actually seeking it out. I don't remember like turning on the television. I mean, I must have at some point. It was like it was just being force-fed into my home. I mean, at no point did I sit down. Let's be clear about this. At no point did I sit down and go, I'm gonna watch me some wedding coverage. And I don't channel surf. We've talked about that before. You know, I got the TiVo and I got the, you know, Netflix and whatever. And so it's like I pretty much make appointment viewing. And yet, I have all of this coverage of the royal wedding in my brain that I somehow saw. And I don't remember where I saw it, how I saw it, where I was. It was like it was just sort of beamed into all of our collective unconsciousness while we slept. It's the strangest thing. So, yes, I guess is the answer. Okay.
And finally, speaking of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, today is his birthday. He is 39 years old. Also having a birthday today, reality star slash singer Brooke Hogan, Hulk Hogan's daughter. She's 23.
Wonderful. All right, there you go. There's your entertainment news for Monday. That's fantastic. Was it The Tooth Fairy? Was that the movie The Rock made?
Oh, Lord, yes.
You know, here's the thing about it. I've always kind of wanted to see that film just so I can close the gap a little bit and close the circle. Because I've seen the trailer, which is like the worst thing that's ever been created, I think. But I've never seen the film.
I'm hearing really good things about Fast Five, actually. And I really want to see it just because I love Dwayne Johnson and I love Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
I hate the Fast and the Furious movies as a rule, but I just, the idea of finally seeing both of them together in a movie, I'm really looking forward to it.
It's like the De Niro and Pacino of the car racing world of idiocy.
Yes.
I think I pulled the ripcord after, what was Tokyo Drift?
Three
or four,
I think
or something?
Was three.
I saw three. I think I saw whatever, I saw Tokyo Drift, and then I don't think I saw. So the first one that I saw, Too Fast, Too Furious, I saw, I guess, Tokyo Drift, and then whatever the last one was. It was like Fast for Life or Furious for Life.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see that
something.
One either.
Yeah, no. And I forget which one of them it is that the Vin Diesel made his surprise return appearance. I think that was Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
All right. Let's not you and I confuse that with something I care about, though. all right. Well, in any event. Well, that's the end of that show, amazingly. We're at the end of...
Already?
The end of that. I mean, really, it honestly seems like we just started it. So where does the time go? If you're saying to yourself, my God, the program's over, do you have a huge tear in the front of your sweater?
Yeah, I do. I caught it on something and got a big hole in it.
Okay, just check it.
That's my creamy white skin.
I was going to ask, but it sounded creepy to say, is that your flesh I see underneath there?
Yes, it is. My white, white skin. Yes. Would you like me to staple it shut or something?
So yes, that's what I want you to do. I want you to staple it shut. At the news desk, Dawn Taylor and her creamy white skin, advanced technology and magic, Reverend Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Thank you for joining us. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News.